Fred Film Radio, Trieste Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti, and from the 33rd Trieste Film Festival, I'm in visual company of Norica Stefa, director of Looking for Venera, in competition at the 33rd Festival. So welcome, Norica, thank you so much for being with us, even if virtually.
Yes, but it's good still. It feels good that people want to, like, even in this condition, want to discuss about the film. So it's in a way very good. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for the film. We're going to talk in depth about it, but congratulations, because I really loved it. And I wasn't the only one. You've been traveling with this film for a while now, so you know how good it is. So let's start with the genesis of the film. What is it, and how would you describe Looking for Venera?
Well, actually, I was somehow disturbed by the idea of seeing films that have characters who know what they want, or they want something, and then the whole film becomes part of that wanting and realizing that. Actually, the way I grew up, the way I was raised, and the way I live when I go to Kosovo, I find that, but it's not just Kosovo, everywhere, people don't know what they want. I mean, they are moving their bodies and they are interacting with each other, trying to find ways of expressing themselves and trying most likely to test their power and to break as much as they can the space in between. And I was thinking about that when I started to make the film, and I was thinking like how we are all living in one family, a lot of generation under one roof. And this for me is a particular, situation, because, you know, there are a lot of clash of emotions, perceptions, and objectives. And still we maintain a rule and order, which is called family. And if we just pay attention, family is such a complex thing and very obscure. So this was the mood I wanted to portray in the film. And then I thought like, okay, so it's better if I start with a young character, because usually young people know that they want to change. They know that they want to break something that is like set up for them. It's on their temperament. And I was curious to see how by her wanting to change, she will provoke the change on the others who think that they know very good about life. And thinking about all this, like then I was,
I am a bit shocked with the society in my country, but this comes to like in general, that we so often make some social rules and social laws, but the body laws always betray them. Like the needs, this is a film very connected with desire. And for me, it was important that we, like, because desire is not, you cannot negotiate with desire. You cannot name what you desire. It's like desire is very rich. So having a main actress who is like young and having to do with desiring to know about her body, desiring to know about her desires, you know, I thought, oh, okay, so this is very good if we place this in like some very small town in Kosovo, because it's more restrictive, in a big family, and have a girl that, she's not actress. We found her like on the street, have a non-actress who can really tell us much more than an actor, or interpret the desire much better than an actor will do it. So this is how all the project took shape, you know, like deciding, okay, we will film in a small town, we will do with non-actors, we will make a big family and cast like mostly all of them non-actors.
And these are all elements that technically can be, tricky. I mean, they can ease the shooting process or make it even more difficult.
Yes, that's true. For me, me as a filmmaker, I like to. I like to see non actors in this case, because for me it's better if I don't have to say one word and they interpret the word. I'm for me it's cinema. It's a curiosity and observation of the world. So I like to be attentive to not know what is happening. This makes me feel like I'm working more organically with whatever the in this case personas or the actors are giving me. you know, like, because you have to be always attentive how they are moving towards, like, a discussion we have. For example, we prepared, okay, this is the scene about this thing and this thing, but look, what is special about non-actors is that they don't, how to say, like, isolate the present moment. For them, when you talk, for example, the desire, they go back to, like, particular past of their life when they felt a particular desire for something. So they include a lot of the past and a lot of the future. And because this film is having to do with a lot of generation under one home, I thought it's very good to have all these layers and have them in the background. You know, like, also the film was shot in CinemaScope. We decided to go very wide because I wanted all the layers present in the family and very active. You know, like, a lot of time you have seen in the film, the main character is not in focus and she's often cut. The head is cut, the body is cut, and a lot of other parts are more in attention than her, how to say it. Because of this, like, I wanted the past and present and something that have lived before to be present still.
Did you choose to have, you know, besides Venera, also Dorina, in order to, let's say, explore, I don't want to say two options, but I mean two different directions or what the coming of age process could lead to?
Yes, in this case, like, Dorina is more used with camera because she was acting in one film before, but she's not an actor. She never studied. Like, she was found the same as we found Venera. But what was for me important is that I wanted to really protect the Venera as a character and her as a persona, because, like, what I find happened in front of the camera is that if we compared Venera in the first scene and compared to the last scene, I mean, she grew in front of the camera. Yeah. So I thought, like, okay, if she has somebody that is co-acting with her, like Dorina, that she's used with camera, so they don't, in their private conversation, there is no need to mention camera in this process of, because I was very taking care. We casted more than 1,300 girls to find Venera. And it was because of finding that particular girl that doesn't need this artificial device like camera, which is very giving you attention, to come to boost and to get to this confidence. And Venera, the character we found, Kosovare Krasnici, she was not bothered with that idea of being in attention. And so, like, the mix with Dorina, who is more used with camera, but is very natural as well, and her that doesn't never think about the camera, was a good way to work and to have this kind of also mise-en-scene, like, that nobody is really thinking that they are being filmed, but they are giving something very personal on screen.
I have to say that I really liked, I don't want to spoil anything, but we can say that there's not like, I don't want to say happy ending, but there's not a definite ending to the film. I mean, and I read an interview that you gave and you said that it was a bit cliche for you to have, you know, the classical change in the end, you know, that it's typical for the coming of age films. So why this choice? Why did you decide to make it the more realistic possible? Because you know, as we know, as we came of age, it's not so definite. We're all coming of age and coming of age and coming of age.
Yes, that's a very good point, that it's never an end. But also, look, I think this film is the film's objective is not to make sense from a particular story. And it's not really relying on a plot or heavy dramatic switches, you know, like. So I try to make sense by association and emotion that the characters are bringing, by mindset, mood. And I think by the end of the film, actually, also the title is referring to this relationship between the spectator, the viewer, and the screen. Because looking for Venera, why is this title? It's because the audience is trying to understand and to look for her. I opted for a kind of filmmaking that doesn't make you think what will happen next, but instead what is really happening in front of me. this is my aim. This is like, I like to capture, even while we are rehearsing on set, something that cannot be communicated. It's like an energy between the actors. When I find the right, that we achieve that energy between them, then I start to shoot something. So for me, it was important that, not was important, but I never intended to have a sharp or a clear ending, because I think like when the film ends, the story doesn't end. The story made sense already in the mind of the viewer, because they understood the characters by the end of the film. And when I felt that, okay, I reached that, and they express something or they explain something to the viewer, they became more clear for the viewer. You don't need an ending, because what is ending? I mean, even, you know, I don't like the audience to go out of the cinema and to think like, aha, this was because of that. I like they to have a piece of life and to conclude about that, like giving their own perception on something. I feel like the story of Venera was ending like 15 minutes before the film ended, you know, like she achieved to have what she wanted. But this is just one ending, but the film has so many layers. So what is ending? Like I told you, it's not a film that relies on the script. It relies on the atmosphere and a world that I want to portray. And that world never ends. But what is important for me is like, because a lot of time I was asked if the ending is positive, if I want to be hopeful or it's very pessimistic. I think it's very optimistic. It's hopeful because you see so much energy coming from this characters. They are not actors. And actually, it's very interesting when you choose to work with them and you tell them, okay, you are chosen to be in a film. Their first question is like, what is so special about me that she picked me from the street and wants, or from the coffee, and she wants me to work in a film? And the way we shot the film and the way the chronology helped us, like, because we shot chronologically, is to allow space while rehearsing, while shooting, for them to interact and to find that element for what they were chosen, and slowly feel confident about that element and reveal it even more. I mean, I was curious when I was editing the film that I saw, like, actually, you know, as the film was progressing, the editing became more rough. You know, the dynamic started to change of the editing, because I felt that, okay, they are revealing themselves easier by the end of the film, because they got confident about what they are. You know, like a lot of time they say this is a coming of age story, but I think like who is coming of age is every character in this film. So, yeah.
I was, while preparing for this interview, I read some reviews. Sometimes I do that. And I read one from Neil Young from Screen. And he wrote, Norita Sefa's luminous debut, Looking for Venera, confirms tiny Kosovo is currently on a wave. Do you agree? Why is that? What's happening? Yeah.
Yes, well, it was a very interesting year, to be honest. This year is a product or a result of 5 to 7 years work from all of us who screened the film this year, premiered the film this year. Like, it's a new wave, and I think it's a wave that actually is bringing a diversity in how we are dealing with filmmaking and film industry, which is very small still and needs a lot of investment and laws and new rules and so on. But infrastructure, this is the word I wanted to remember. But what I like is that what I am proud of is that I'm proud of with this wave that no matter that we didn't have the proper condition to start filming, we did film. And because that was not a good infrastructure, we found our own way to make films. And each film, even though it's a new wave, each film is so diverse from one another. And each film firmly confirms that actually we made it very, we wanted to make this film, and they were very close to our heart because we find ways to make it. No matter that we didn't have like the proper condition to do that. But now, because we have this new wave and we prove somehow that films can be done and there are a lot of talents, not just because of the directors. I mean, we have amazing actors, amazing crew people, creative key crew people. So now there is an urgency from the government and from the Cinematography Center to really make you know, like a plan and a structure of this like cinematography center in Kosovo. So this new wave, it's for me, it's good because it's showing that there is potential, but we just need to take care of this potential.
One last thing, I want to know more about this experience of yours in Trieste. And before starting the interview, you also told me that somehow the film also started in your mind in Trieste.
Yes, I was part of the East Meet West a couple of years ago, like maybe 4 years ago. And by that time, I was very much into documentaries, well, experimental documentaries or very, yeah, like, I don't know how it is, very hybrid documentaries, I would say. Mm-hmm. But by that time, I wanted to really get to learn this process of writing for a film, because I like to write. I like to write. Even though I didn't include them in my documentary, I like to write a lot. So I was in some workshop here, and the first drive or spark was in Trieste. So yeah, it's good to see, like, especially because now it's a new year, you know, like it feels like, oh, I see the time passing.
Yes.
It's nostalgic and good, and I don't know, it's good.
Nonika, so good luck with Looking for Venera and also with your next projects.
Yes,
because hopefully, yes, there will be more than one, and I really hope to meet you in person one day. We missed each other this year, but I'm confident that we're going to meet again.
Thank you very much for this conversation.
Thank you. Good luck. Nonika Sefa, director of Looking for Venera, in competition at the 33rd Trieste Film Festival. And this is Chiara Nicoletti for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.